Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
A capital city abandoned, a capital city in mourning, and a former capital celebrates its downfall. It's November 1920.
100 years from today.
Your world news update, the messy aftermath of the Great War continues. The capital of Armenia, Yerevan, has been evacuated as Turkish and Soviet troops close in. Hungary's Constituent Assembly has voted to ratify the Treaty of Versailles under threat of an invasion by Britain, France and Italy. The deputies rose and sang the national anthem, then voted to submit to the treaty's supposedly crushing terms, and finally walked out of the chamber. The Prime Minister, Karl Huzar, has ordered that the black flag of mourning be flown over public buildings as the terms of the treaty are imposed on the Hungarian people. The Inter-Allied Control Commission has met at Munich to indicate that Bavaria must disarm its militia. In Paris, representatives of the Polish government have signed an agreement recognizing the free city of Danzig as a semi-autonomous state under the authority of a League of Nations commissioner. Created by the Versailles Treaty for predominantly German-speaking residents of Poland, the Free City of Danzig belongs to neither Poland nor Germany. However, in exchange for formal recognition, Poland has been granted the use of the railway system, the waterways, and the seaports within the Danzig state. The Kingdom of Italy and the Kingdom of Serbs, Croats, and Slovenes have signed the Treaty of Rapallo, settling their territorial claims on islands of the Adriatic and the eastern shore. Italy will cede Dalmatia, the Free State of Fiume, and other parts of Croatia to the new Slav Kingdom, and receive in return the islands of Cerso, Lucino and Uni. The Assembly of the League of Nations has held its first session at its new headquarters in Geneva with representatives of 41 nations present. Austria has applied to be the 42nd. The Russian Civil War is over, at least on the Southern Front. 135,000 Bolshevik troops have driven the Black Baron, so-called General Pyotr Wrangel, and his White Army from the Crimean Peninsula. The general has fled on the French warship Sebastopol, and his prime minister has taken refuge at Constantinople and conceded that the Bolsheviks have won. To the north, the Soviet Union has been celebrating the third anniversary of the October Revolution with a mass theatrical production, The Storming of the Winter Palace. 8,000 participants, directed by Nikolai Evrenov, performed the piece before an audience of 100,000 spectators in the square in front of that Winter Palace in St. Petersburg. The Irish Home Rule Bill has passed the House of Commons by 183 votes to 52. It provides for a Parliament of Southern Ireland and a Parliament of Northern Ireland, but with external affairs, defence, coinage and taxation remaining under the control of London. On the ground, however, events may be passing the point of no return. Kevin Barry, an Irish Republican convicted by military tribunal of the murder of three soldiers, has been hanged at Mountjoy Jail in Dublin. He was 18 years old, and his execution is the first such in response to the present upheaval. Kevin Barry was hanged just after 7 in the morning, and by the close of day, six Irish policemen were dead in reprisal attacks. James Daly, 22 years old, also an Irish nationalist and a lieutenant with the Connaught Rangers serving in India, has also been executed by a firing squad after his court-martial. Earlier this year, Lieutenant Daly was part of a mutiny at the Wellington Barracks at Jalandhar in the Punjab that ran the Irish Tricolour over their hut and proclaimed it Liberty Hall. Cecil Lestrange Malone, an English Liberal member of the House of Commons, was in Dublin to speak at Trinity College when he was arrested and charged with sedition for a speech last week at the Royal Albert Hall in London. Mr. Malone had declared that, quote, "I hope the day will soon come when we shall meet here to pass a blessing on the British Revolution. Woe to all those people who get in our way," he added, and started musing on politicians who deserve to be hanged in public. Quote, "What are a few Churchills or a few Curzon lampposts compared with the misery of thousands of human beings?" A reference to the Secretary of State for Air, Mr. Winston Churchill, and the leader of the House of Lords and former Viceroy of India, Lord Curzon. In the United States, banks in North Dakota have begun failing. In little over a week, 13 have closed their doors to depositors. The largest train robbery in American history has been pulled off after thieves broke into a rail car on the Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy Railroad after it was loaded with a United States Mint shipment of currency, bonds, and gold in Nebraska. At the train's first stop outside of Omaha, the robbers emptied the bags from the car and loaded them into a waiting motor vehicle, unaware that the mailbags were carrying much more than the usual amount of money orders and cash. It was originally thought they had gotten away with $1 million. It turns out to be more than $3.5 million. Rumours that the unprecedentedly successful robbers are youths barely out of short trousers. The former Governor of Vermont, Horace Graham, was a popular chief executive of the Green Mountain State, although limited to one term under the Vermont Republican Party's Mountain Rule. Honest Horace, as he's known to one and all, has also been the town moderator of Craftsbury, a small town in the north of the state, for almost two decades. Now, Honest Horace has been convicted of embezzlement of some $25,000 in state funds. Despite repaying the money, he was sentenced to 5 years hard labour in the state penitentiary. However, just 2 hours later, his successor, the present governor, Percival Clement, granted Mr. Graham a pardon for all his crimes. The other day, Dr. George Fletcher placed a small vial containing 1 milligram of radium under a bandage on a female patient as a means of treating breast cancer. A few hours later, the woman decided the burning of the radium was irritating her and so went to the ladies' bathroom and flushed the contents of the vial down a toilet. Staff of the Faxton Hospital are now engaged in a frantic search for the radium through the sewer lines near the buildings. The milligram of radium is said to be worth $13,000, but that is not the reason for the search. It is also radioactive.
Snap their fingers, hardly I declare, it's a bear, it's a bear.
It certainly is a bear. Younger readers of the Daily Express in London are thrilled by a brand new comic strip that has become an instant success. The doings of a little lost bear called Rupert are intended to rival the Daily Mail's adventures of Tony Tail. The new bear is drawn by Mary Tortell and written by her husband Herbert, the Express's news editor. The picture actress Mildred Harris is known for her role in His Majesty the Scarecrow of Oz, and then at the age of 15 for playing a harem girl in D.W. Griffith's Intolerance. The following year, she married Charlie Chaplin. Their baby son died at just 3 days old, and Mr. Chaplin is said to have complained that Mildred was not his intellectual equal. 2 years later, the now 18-year-old Miss Harris has been granted a divorce on grounds of cruelty. The Census Bureau has released figures showing that the year 1919 had the lowest death rate ever recorded in the United States, 12.9 deaths per 1,000 people. The year before, mostly due to the Spanish influenza, the death rate was 18 per 1,000 people. Commander Warren Terun, the governor of American Samoa, has had a troubled time in the job. His new law forbidding marriage between U.S. sailors and Samoan women has proved very unpopular with both parties. He has removed tribal leaders from power and dismissed the natives as Stone Age children not fit to govern themselves. This, in turn, has led to the creation of a nationalist movement opposed to American imperialism. There have been concerns about the governor's mental stability, but the head surgeon on Tutuila refused to declare Mr. Terun insane. Following a meeting with island chiefs, the governor returned to Government House and fatally shot himself in a bathroom. He was 51. Abraham Kuyper, former Prime Minister of the Netherlands and a neo-Calvinist theologian who founded the country's second largest Protestant church, is dead. He took the German side in the recent World War, having been implacably opposed to the British since the Boer War. Ludwig von Struve, the German astronomer from a celebrated family of astronomers, has departed for the stars. He made a name for himself in celestial mechanics, but he has not had an easy time of it since the Russian Revolution. His oldest child joined the White Army, which obliged Herr von Struve to flee to Simferopol in the Crimean Peninsula. Of his other three children, his 9-year-old daughter, Elizabeth, drowned in front of him this summer, and shortly thereafter, his 17-year-old son, Werner, expired from tuberculosis. Their father survived them by barely 6 months. And that's the way of the world. November 1920.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Markstein Enterprises and O'Kill Media. All rights reserved.